One of the big data points that we've been watching out this morning was on the housing market. U.S. home building took a turn lower in July, and we saw housing starts falling 7% month on month for the biggest drop since April, according to the Commerce Department. Building permits did rebound to a 2.6% monthly rise. And for more on the state of housing, we have Larry Schover, Chief Investment Officer of Efficient Advisors, on the phone with us now. Larry, thanks so much for joining us. I want to first ask about that housing starts data and how should investors be thinking about that larger than expected decline, especially in the context of the other economic data we've been getting recently?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is well below consensus, but we have to remember that the annual pace is still at levels that we haven't seen since 2006. So whether it's plateauing or going down, it's doing so from a very high level. And I think a lot of it is just due to the fact that prices went up so fast and so far that it just boxed people out of the market with regards to the work from home or work from anywhere movement, the rise in lumber prices, steel prices, et cetera. It just priced people out. And so I think we're leveling off, but I don't think it's a huge concern, at least right now, just given the fact that rates have come down, commodities have come down, and there always will be a natural bid for housing.
Larry, before we talk about some of the other economic issues that are driving these markets, like crude is down right now. With housing, if people are getting priced out, at what point, especially with interest rates eventually going to start going up, do we get a price correction? Because if you can't sell your house because the buyers aren't there, there has to be a correction, doesn't there?
Yeah, you'd think so, at least in pockets of the market have gone up so much. I mean, where I live, prices have not gone up so much because taxes continue to go higher. But, I think there are, financial conditions can continue to be solid. Banks are in better shape than they were like pre-2008. And to suggest that we'll have another 2008, I mean, I hope that never happens again. But I think we've learned a lot from that lesson. But yeah, at a certain point, it does price people out and moves them further and further away from buying. But I don't see that happening right now. I just think that the fact we saw lumber prices more than double in 6 months and steel prices, copper prices, and I think that's all eased off. And I think with interest rates leveling and mortgage rates still decent, we'll have a natural bid.
And Larry, in terms of the path forward for interest rates, of course, we just got those FOMC meeting minutes out about an hour ago. I'm wondering what your takeaway was from those and just in the context of the Fed commentary we've been getting recently, where you think things are heading and where the Fed's mind is at, given this debate over the transitory nature potentially of these price increases vis-a-vis some of the weakness we're still seeing in the labor market.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the biggest takeaway for me is that it's evident that tapering in September, although that's definitely not my base case, it's not a foregone conclusion. I mean, I've never seen a more divisive Fed. I mean, if Bullard, Kaplan, Rosengren held the seats of Powell, Clarida, and Williams, we would be tapering next month. But, the bottom line is, they all basically agreed that substantial further progress from maximum employment has not been met. And that's offsets by most of them agree that we've achieved price stability. So I really think it's either September or November/December. I know there are three meetings left, but I just group them in two. And I really do err on the side of being later, given the Delta virus, to see something like a November/December taper.
Larry, I am curious what your take is when advising, whether it's your colleagues or even clients, about what to expect. We're reading this morning, copper futures are falling, and now I'm looking at crude oil down $65.20 a barrel. This is WTI, but crude is falling. What is that signaling as to the potential for economic growth as we go out of the third quarter into the fourth quarter?
Yeah, well, you mentioned two real good ones. Both commodities ran up a lot. Nothing could pull them down. When it comes to oil, definitely is being directly affected by Chinese processing is down at a 13-month low. India's demand for diesel down 11% year over year. I mean, it's all the Delta variant that people are worried about, but the run-up in crude, in my mind, was just everything went perfectly for the market, and it has continued to fly. And I think now it's like I'm glad it's back down. I think it should go lower. And I do believe it has no impact at this point. It's all about just cooling off from everything going perfect. With regards to something like copper or iron ore or nickel, definitely a lot of that had to do with financing in China. They use that to facilitate financing. They use a lot of it, but that is all curbed. So, I just think, again, with industrial metals, it's more about mean reversion, and that's what we're seeing right now.
And Larry, as we look more broadly at the markets, what do you see as the number one risk in the next 2 to 3 months?
Yeah, the number one risk, I think, is just the amount of money that we're borrowing. The balance sheet of the Fed is that basically we're in an experiment that we've never tried before, and who knows how it's all going to end up. And we saw earlier this year like what it did to the front end of the curve of money market accounts, the scarcity. That's the number one risk right now. It's just like we're floating a lot of supply, and can we continue to do so and also implement the enormous infrastructure project that was just approved?
All right, definitely something we're all keeping a close eye on. But Larry Shover, Chief Investment Officer of Efficient Advisors, thank you so much.